Our big focus on left, right and center this evening. Well, the Trump camp seems to be divided over the H-1B visa. Remember, the H-1B visa is one of the most sought after visas, particularly for Indian techies and other professionals. But now there seems to be a full-blown war between hardline Trump supporters and Elon Musk, who will be heading a crucial department in the Trump administration. Elon Musk seems to suggest that there has to be more openness and receptiveness when it comes to foreign talent, and that's going to be a key part of making America great again. Meanwhile, the MAGA supporters, which is of course one of Trump's most loyal and important support bases, says that, well, this is against the idea or concept of America first. Now, what's interesting here is that Trump's own stand vis-a-vis the H-1B visa has been unclear and inconsistent. Earlier, of course, in his earlier tenure, he's been pretty against H-1B visa, and that, in a sense, aligns with his larger immigration policy. But of late, he's expressed a more soft stand, perhaps, as far as the H-1B visa is concerned. Well, is the H-1B against the American first idea or the concept? What does it really mean for Indian techies? If you can have that graphic up on how Indian origin people are almost more than 75% of the total chunk of foreign individuals who are given the H-1B visa. For Indians, the H-1B visa is the most sought after, as I said, because it aligns with their professional goals and pursuit in the United States of America. So, well, this policy is certainly going to impact a lot of Indians. Is there going to be a more open approach vis-a-vis H-1B visa? Well, Elon Musk, who is certainly a very important part of the administration, says that we need to look at it from more openness and a more receptive perspective. Elon Musk himself came to America first on an H-1B visa. On the show tonight, we ask, as Musk backs talent visas, has talent trumped the MAGA champions? Before I introduce my panel, let's quickly take a look at this report.
With President-elect Donald Trump set to return to office in less than a month, it appears a new flashpoint has emerged in American politics. It's Musk versus the populist Make America Great Again movement over the prized H-1B visa, with the Tesla chief now threatening to go to war on the matter. It seems that while Trump has appointed billionaires Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy to advise the government on efficiency, they are also pushing his upcoming administration to bring in more foreign tech workers. So how did this debate emerge? Over the past week, MAGA supporters, Trump's crucial voter base, have been slamming the president-elect for appointing Indian origin Sriram Krishnan as his AI advisor, calling his decision not America first. Musk and Ramaswamy backed Krishnan, defending the tech industry's need to bring in foreign workers. Now, Trump too appears to be siding with Musk, saying he always liked H-1B visas. So what is the H-1B visa? The H-1B visa is one of the most highly competitive visas in the US immigration system's complex catalog, with big tech companies including Amazon, Google, and Tesla among the highest recipients. In 2024, over 85,000 visas were approved, but over 400,000 applications were received. The H-1B visa is geared towards professionals and skilled workers and are most often used by the software engineers and others in the tech industry, making it critical for hard-to-fill positions. More than 7 in 10 recipients of H-1B visas are from India, followed by China, Canada, and South Korea. Ahead of Trump's return, the Biden administration announced an overhaul in the H-1B visa program, aiming to modernize the program, speed up applications, and impose penalties on companies abusing the system, a complaint Trump and the MAGA movement have had in the past. These changes include automatic extensions for full-time students, easier extensions for other students, and revising the definition of specialty occupation. The new rules will come into effect on January 17, 2025, 3 days before Trump enters office. The big tech industry hopes that tech giants like Musk, who have developed a strong bond with the president-elect, could convince Trump to offer more visas to highly skilled foreign workers. All eyes will now be on the new Trump administration to see how it will impact the H-1B visa program and how it will impact India. Disha Bakshi for NDTV.
Well, what does it really mean for Indian techies? Joining me on the show this evening, I'm being joined by Pramit Markode. He is somebody who has worked on H-1B for many, many years. He's also the president of Global Citizen Forum, also vice president international region at Computer Society of India. Also, Choko Valiappa, founder and CEO of V-Technologies, hire me. Thanks very much for being with us. Also, Varun Singh, MD, CIFARS, Immigration Certified Investment Migration Consultant as well. Thanks very much, gentlemen, indeed, for being with us. Let me start by asking you, Mr. Markode, as somebody who went to the U.S. on an H-1B visa, who has successfully built a career in the U.S. on an H-1B visa for so long, why do you think this still remains one of the most sought-after visas for Indians? And why is it so important for Indians? At the very outset, I think it's significant for us to understand what H-1B visa really means for Indian techies and why is it so sought after and important?
America, most of the American companies and different sector, whether it is financial sector, banking sector, insurance sector, pharma sector, healthcare sector, there is a huge need of software engineers and talented software engineers. And America, for whatever America produces, there is still a big shortage of software engineers. And there are other sectors as well, but particularly in the IT field and software engineers, there is a huge shortage. And that shortage can only be bridged when you bring earlier, it used to be 65,000, then it went to 85,000. For a few years, it was even beyond 85,000 engineers and H-1B quota every year. We used to bring to America from different countries. And India being the IT hub for the world, most of the IT engineers used to come from India. So there is a great need, and there was a shortage of H-1B and skilled workers. And that's why H-1B visa is one of the most sought after, because for each H-1B worker who is working in India, there were at least 3 to 4 engineers used to support them from India. So almost you're talking about 300 to 400,000 high-skilled jobs were dependent on these H-1B workers, not just for India, but it was extremely useful for the American companies to meet their deliverables, to meet their timelines, and to deliver a very quality product. So H-1B for last 20 years, what we are seeing is quite important visas for whether it is a product company or a service-based company or any other sectors, H-1B has played a very important role.
Absolutely. I think that's a very important point you're making, that through the years, the Indian diaspora, the Indian community in the United States has transformed, has now emerged as a very important political force, but H-1B has remained as important. I think that's a very significant point I'm making. And let me get Mr. Valiappa on this, because, the kind of divide that we see within the Trump camp over H-1B, would you say that this is also because of how Indo-US ties have transformed over the years, with India now almost emerging as an equal in the partnership, and the Indian community, the Indian diaspora also emerging not only as an important business force, as an important part of the workforce, but an important political force, which is why we see this kind of debate and discussion around the H-1B, Trump also taking perhaps a softer approach, and Elon Musk, an important part of the Trump administration, now almost vouching for the H-1B visa.
Sure. Yeah, Vedant. You need to look at it from the bilateral trade between US and India, right?
Yes.
So India allows import of software freely. So that's the reason why 35% of the Silicon Valley, which is almost $5 billion, is dependent on India. So if you take Google, Microsoft, Facebook, WhatsApp, they're all free in India, but they're banned in China. Remember that. So you can't use Google, you can't use Gmail in China, for example, right? From that perspective. So we are open. So from the bilateral trade, the new economy, we contribute almost 35% from a market capitalization of these Silicon Valley companies too. So that's the thing that you need to look at it. But if you were to step back many decades or many centuries ago, it all started in 1492 when Christopher Columbus discovered America. So America has been a country of immigrants, right? So, and who's American today? What dates do you stop it? Do you stop at 1990 or 2000 or which? How can you say that I came before, so I'm American? You came today, and also the H-1B visa that we are talking about is minuscule, right? It accounts for 0.079% of the total American population. So if you look at it, it's minute. And what keeps America great is that they've been able to attract the best talent in the world. So that is what is the differentiator of America versus the rest of the countries, right? So if you deny this and then other countries are inviting the better, I mean, so you need to get the best talent to the U.S. So as long as it does that, it's right. If you look at it from this perspective, I think it's the politics of how the world is today. The polarity is very, very evident, right? So the pendulum shifts too much to the left or the right.
Yes.
And once post-election, it needs to come to the center. And that's where the debate is right now, because in politics, during campaign, it moved extreme right, as a lot of the other countries have shown during the mandate that Trump got. But right now, it's swinging back to the center, and that's where it should be. And,
I'll come to the politics of it, because one cannot, of course, divorce the politics from the policy, as it were, given the fact that, you know, it certainly was the idea of America First and the idea of, MAGA or Make America Great Again that delivered that stunning victory for Donald Trump. And, of course, that is going to have a huge bearing on his policy decisions as well. But before I come to that, Varun Singh, how do you see, this whole idea of reverse migration, which is something that's become extremely important as well. Now, of course, you see a lot of Indian techies who've gotten their education in the U.S., who've worked in the U.S. with big MNCs for some years, returning to India, returning to their country to perhaps, work in the entire startup ecosystem with the startup culture booming in India. How do you see that playing out? And how do you see H-1B in that context and immigration versus migration in that context?
Yeah, Vedant, very interesting. The reverse migration part, which you mentioned, this is a new phenomenon, and this is a new
fairly recent phenomenon.
Yeah, it's a very recent phenomenon which you were not able to see in last 5-6 decades. Most probably, I have not seen in my 15 years of career, but in last 5 years, we have started seeing the reverse migration in terms of looking for a demand for a better retirement. So, Indian origin, Indian families, they always look for. The soul is in India. So we have seen the clients who migrated 10, 15 years back. Now they started looking for a reverse way of having a resettlement back in roots where they can rest in peace with their own culture and food and people around. So this is not only in terms of the soil and the soul. It's also in regards to the business and the growth. In last 10, 15 years, the properties and the real estate market in India has also improved a lot. And that's why the appreciation in the things which was left over back in India, it was surprisingly very spiked. And we are seeing that the families who are settled in US from last 30 years or 40 years, 50 years, they are seeing back and looking back India as a very promising option. And this is why the reverse migration and Choko mentioned very clearly that, America is also a migrant nation, and the migration is happening from thousands of years, and this is never going to stop. But yes, in this generation, in this era, in 2025, it has to be more refined. And H-1B is a very old traditional process, which has to be reformed. And this is a high time where the businesses are suffering. If you take deep dive about H-1B process, if you apply hundreds of employees, there is a probability of getting one employee or two employees getting H-1B lottery. So this is going to overall affect the business model. Mm. This is not going to be a very effective model where employees are having a very great flow of, even the geopolitics are in place and everything is in place, but still the employees struggle. So I struggle. It's not only about the tier one employers. It's about tier two, tier three, tier four employers too, who are depending on 1, 2, 5, 10, 100 employees. So such kind of businesses suffer a lot because of such policies. And it has to be reformed in terms of merit-based, and the quota system is all old rules, old things, and which needs. That's why, if we look into the promising way, Trump and Elon Musk, they are, I don't know about their political background, but I'm damn sure about their business background. And they're a businessman. and the ecosystem and the flow of resources, which should not have any political hindrance.
That's an important point you're making. The point you made about merit, I think that's very important too. And Mr. Marco, they come in on this because one thing that Elon Musk has emphasized is that talent is sacrosanct. That is something that has to be given utmost priority when it comes to looking at America as a meritocracy, because that is something the U.S. has sort of always, in a sense, emphasized, and that's something we see U.S. leaders proud about too, that U.S. is a meritocracy, which is why it's also so receptive to, say, foreigners and foreign students and foreign techies as well. So this idea of talent in a meritocracy, how important is that? Also in the context of Indians looking at U.S. as this land of the free and land of opportunities.
As you rightly said, America is the land of meritocracy. And whether it is in IT field, whether it is in healthcare field, in sports, America invites the talent from all over the world. And when people come as a raw talent to America, the American ecosystem hones him and his skills to make him an exceptional candidate so that he can not only, he doesn't contribute only to his own organization, but to the society at large, to America. And many times, like these great personalities like Elon Musk and Sundar Pichai, they are the inspirational Indians. They are shaping the world, like Sundar Pichai in what I meant. But in general, H-1Bs, there are a few exceptional candidates who have done exceptional job and they are making a significant difference to the whole world. See, what is happening right now, or for last many years, the whole immigrant block is looked at as one block. There is a high-skilled immigrants, there are low-skilled immigrants, and there are illegal immigrants. So if we break it down into three different categories, then to resolve this issue and to calm down the tensions is very easy. When you are talking about the high-skilled immigrants, what Mr. Ramaswamy and Elon Musk are saying, that they are only talking about 0.1% of the global engineering talent. That is 1 in 1,000 engineers, those who are sharp, those who are exceptional, they want to invite them to come to America, contribute to the American progress, contribute to the American economy. And the American ecosystem is such that when you contribute to American economy and American system, you also make a difference to the whole world. But they are only talking about the meritocracy that you are talking, only the 0.1%.
Sure.
If you take out the illegal immigrants, and there is a whole separate discussion, there are more than, some people are saying 13 million illegal have come, some people are saying 30 million illegal have come. There should be a very separate discussion and separate reforms for them. But there is an urgent need to work on H-1B reforms, to change a lot of laws. The minimum wages has been changed for H-1B during the Trump 1.0.
So those reforms they're talking about, I think that's going to be important for Trump to look at, and that balancing act, Mr. Valiappa, as we were discussing the politics of it earlier, that balancing act is going to be tricky. It's going to be a tightrope walk, certainly, for Donald Trump. He has certainly become softer vis-a-vis the H-1B visa process, but it's still going to be difficult for him to also not upset his hardline supporters, his MAGA supporters, as it were.
Yeah, it could be very well a balance, actually, Vedant. So it could be that Trump's, he's definitely going to go on the illegal immigrants, because that's been one of his main things. Remember the wall with Mexico that he had proposed earlier as well. Because south of the border, things like that. So I think he's definitely going to go, and that may well be the compromise or the mix or the balance where it would be the equilibrium, where he would support the MAGA supporters, Make America Great Again supporters, and to say that I am going to start taking action on illegal immigrants. But he's always been pro-immigrant in this election, per se. One of the things he actually said was, if you study in America and graduate in an American university, then you should automatically get a green card. So he's encouraging immigrants from that angle. But at the same way, he's also very, very strict about illegal immigrants. 13 million is a great big number. And I think that's a problem which he will definitely address. So.
Absolutely. And the last word to you, Mr. Singh. The H-1B visa process is something that has always been extremely precarious and it's been difficult for Indians to navigate it. And you hear so many stories of Indians struggling with, you know, the visa. As an immigration expert yourself, how would you say that Indian techies perhaps who are aspiring to go to the U.S., how do they circumvent these changes in politics that ultimately reflect in policy decisions vis-a-vis the visa policy as well?
See, Vedan, this basically the techies, they can't see, this is all employer driven process.
Yes.
And also it's a policy driven process. So when there is a policy driven process, you don't have a control over the in and out and the exit and the entry of the process. But of course, there are other options. The techies, they choose for other routes where they can, on the entrepreneur route, the L1 options are there, the company setup options are there. So there are multiple options are there that we can discuss in the other forums. But basically, this H1B is all controlled by the home office. And the employers also, they don't have the full control over it, even if they have the control over the employment and the candidates. But even after doing all the things, they still have a very less control over it. So this is where this process needs to be more refined in 2025, because if you are looking into the growth and success and probability of having a good governance, then this is a part of the good governance where there's a lot of the gray area in H1 and the other visa process, where the employer side, if you see on the business point of view, if you see the business, they suffer. The businesses, they suffer because not only the IT, there are construction companies, there are medicine companies, the healthcare, there are hospitalities. So such businesses, they can't wait for a long waiting and long route and the lottery-based system, because these businesses, they suffer a lot. So this is why it needs to be taken deep dive for taking a more reform process, and that will only make the looks. This is how it will look more promising for the techies.
Sure.
To get into a process where it is more systematic and organized.
And as you said at the very outset, that it's a policy decision and it's very employer driven, so one doesn't really have much control over it. I'm afraid I'm completely running out of time, but thanks very much, gentlemen, indeed, for being with us. This is something that's, you know, this entire visa conundrum that's now at the center of the politics of the U.S., and there's no simple answer to that. With that, we come to the end of the show, and also it's a wrap from me on the weekend edition of Left, Right and Center. It's been lovely bringing you this program. Thanks so much for watching. Goodbye.